Hey, if you could see what I'm going to preach on today, the title for my message is Keep On Going, and I thought that was pretty awesome, and I think you'll see the connection there in just a few minutes. But Liz Chandler, who is this really, really perceptive person, said, well, Pastor, we put that up on the sign outside. You think maybe we're sending a mixed message? Hey, come to our church. No, keep on going. Just keep on going. I didn't even think about it. Crazy. So thank you for ignoring our sign and showing up. It's kind of crazy. Hey, most of us have experienced through the years, it's just real, you got to be real careful that you don't do this, that our Christian experiences end up being our destination instead of the continuation of a journey. We get to this point to where we get in church, we feel comfortable, we like our class, we like our friends, and we feel like we've arrived. And there's nothing wrong with that. We understand it in the context. We feel comfortable. This is a nice place. Maybe I'll stay here forever, that type of thing. But our life will never be a destination. It will always be a journey. There's always something else God wants us to be a part of. That's why a part of our vision statement says, we want you to live the journey with us. But it's a personal journey as well as a collective journey. God always has something more for you. And regardless of what you've accomplished, what you've changed in your life to make Christ more the king and the master of your life, or what you've experienced, maybe you haven't quite come to that desired outcome that you're looking for. I mean, there's nothing strange about the fact that we go to church, we do all kinds of things, and sometimes when you get there and you're kind of really involved the best you can, you're going, there's something missing or something more. And that something more sometimes may not be that it's absent, that it doesn't exist in the first place, but that we haven't quite got there yet. And that's why we need to keep going. We need to get to the point to where we're really all the way going completely to where we know we've done everything that we can. Because church is just like us as individuals. Sometimes we plateau. Sometimes we level out, so to speak. You know, stop and think about it. If we had to take every church service we have, and it had to be a little bit better than the one before, a little bit better than the one before, a little bit better than the one before, man, we would just kill ourselves. We would be exhausted, and there's got to be a place where we would never be able to do that again. I used to do that in youth ministry. All of our youth services, I thought I had to come up with this sense of excitement. We had to create this atmosphere. The kids would love it. And before long, you're just wearing yourself out, and the kids are seeing the absence of what's really happening there. And it just seems to be more like fun and games. I just want to share a couple of things with you today about this sense of that if we just keep going, God's going to meet us where we need to be met. God's going to show us where we need to go. God's going to be where we're headed because he's the one that's encouraging us to do that. The first thing I want to share with you is something that's very familiar. It's being consistent. The word consistent. Let me give you a definition of consistent. This is right out of Mr. Webster's big book, and it says consistently adhering to the same course, activity, or discipline. I want you to think of this in terms of an action, in terms of a habit that you have formed, something you're consistent with. You know what? If you are employed, if you consistently show up on time, that's kind of a pretty good thing, don't you think? Because we know what happens if you're inconsistent. You know, your boss kind of wonders, where are you? They kind of expect you not to be there on time more than you are on time. You see what I'm saying? If you got a good friend, if they're inconsistent, you don't know if you can rely on them or not, do you? But being consistent means that we literally just keep doing the same thing over and over again. Not to the sense of boredom, but for a practical application. You see, there's some things that we do every day that have a great purpose, and we hope that you do it. I hope that every one of you showered this morning, that you consistently shower. That's because we live in America, and that's okay to do that here. I hope that you brush your teeth consistently. I hope you wear deodorant consistently. I think I've made my point. You know, these are things that we expect out of ourselves, you know, and nobody else may be measuring us by that, but if you didn't do that, it would be pretty evident after a while. Let me take you to Galatians, the 6th chapter, verse 9. It says this, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Stop and think about this. If we do not grow weary in well-doing, you know, stop and think about the things that you do that are well, that are good, that are productive. I mean, do you think you'd ever get tired of that? The answer is yes. I'm sorry, there's some things that we do praying. Let's talk about that. Pray. Everybody should pray. But sometimes it's hard to just keep praying, isn't it? because it just, you know, you're waiting for the result or whatever. The thrill isn't always there. You see, there's some things that we do. It's not about the emotion. It's not about the excitement. It's about the consistency in what it does. For example, I love the fact that my wife tells me very often, I love you. What she doesn't tell me all the time is, you're very handsome. Haven't got that one down yet. I think I understand the logic behind that. But it's really cool. I mean, you know, I didn't grow up in a home that did that. We didn't say I love you a bunch. And, you know, when I got married with Debbie and their family was all kind of ooey-gooey like that, I thought, this is really cool. It got me excited. They were consistent with it. Do not get weary in well-doing. Because after a while, in due season, you're going to reap if you don't lose heart. Consistently doing the right thing. It builds a lot of things in us. It builds stability. We become stable within ourselves, and people become to see us as a stable person. It depends, it causes us to be dependable. You can depend on somebody who's consistent. So you see, these things, we understand it in the workforce, we understand it in school, we understand it in friendships. We need to start understanding it in our spiritual lives. Here's one big sidebar to this that's very important. It's called integrity. If you are consistent, it builds integrity. You know, there's a great book that I've read several times, and I've often given it to couples who, when I'm doing marriage counseling, it's called His Needs, Her Needs. This guy that wrote this, he says, His Needs, Her Needs. And the byproduct, the little byline down there says, How to Affair-Proof Your Marriage. And he talks about how that sometimes there are indiscrepancies, and sometimes there's failure. Sometimes there are things, and you destroy the trust you have in that marriage because of what you did. And you know what he says? He said, the only way to rebuild that back is not through all the words you say, because that's important. Not the things you do, because that's important. He said, but by the things that you consistently do time and time again, that you rebuild that trust, not because you said you would do it, but because you do it. He says, you know what? When you leave the office, men, if it's you that's had the problem, he said, you call your wife, you tell her, I'm leaving the office, I'll see you in 20 minutes. And if you're not there in 20 minutes because you live in Claremore and there's 5,000 trains between you and home, you call her. Say, I'm at a train. He said, you do that. You have to build. It's called being consistent. Can you imagine what it does in God's eyes when we're consistent with our lives before Him? Can you imagine what it does for our lives if we're consistent in that? You know what? It's the new year. We're just barely out of January, and a lot of people wanted to do some physical changes. They want to get in shape. They want to lose some weight. They want to whatever. Well, you know what? You do that through the whole month of January because you bought the monthly, whatever, anyway, and down at the rec center. And now it's February. We get to change course. And now we become inconsistent, and it's that thing that causes us to be unstable, undependable, even to ourselves. The promise we get from the Scripture is that if we consistently do the right thing, in due season or eventually, we'll see the benefits. We will see the benefits. There will be a payoff. There will be a reward associated with this. Now listen, this is one of those verses of Scripture that there's not a whole lot of, wow, did you hear that? I've never heard that before. And it makes perfect sense. The problem with it is exercising it, applying it to our lives, taking it out of the context of Scripture and putting it into the daily devoted moments of my life. Okay, thank you. This is thank you. Guys, we're going to stop and pray just for a second. This is Roger Lowe's mother. They have an ambulance here for her. So that's what this is all about. Her name is Pramila, and I just want you to join me in prayer with her, okay? Daniel, we have everything under control, everything out there? Okay, thank you. All right. I did notice Julie leaving a few seconds ago, so that's her mother-in-law and Roger, and they're out there, and the ambulance is here. Well, let's pray, okay? Father, we just want to take a second and ask you, oh God, to take care of this dear lady. Lord, we don't know the issues, but we're alarmed inside the context of this service. We know that the ambulance has been called, some medical help is here. But Father, we want to do everything that we know to do to just stop dead in our tracks and just put all of our attention on you and through you, Father. We ask you to touch her, take care of her. Right now, Lord God, just reach through these paramedics, reach through everybody who's assisting her, and Father, take care of her. We ask that, Lord God, that you bless her right now. Father, if this was my mother, if this was somebody's relative, we would urgently ask for prayer that, Father, as the body of Christ, we ask for you to take care of her right now in this moment. Bless her and take care of her in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, I know it's hard to just pick up and go on with our service from there, but I'm assured that she's under good care, and we'll keep you up to date, okay? All right. So this context of being consistent is something that we really have to embrace in our life. Now, here's the caution from this scripture. It says, don't get tired, or believe it or not, I'm going to use a crazy word, don't get bored with doing the right thing. I just got to tell you, I dated this girl when I was a ninth grader, you know, and we broke up, and I find out later she broke up with me because I didn't try anything with her. Now, you know where I'm going with this, don't you? I did not try to do anything that was not commendable for a young man to do. I mean, and I'm going, you got to be kidding me. I'm treating her right. I'm treating her nice, all this other stuff. I never tried anything with her. And she's done with me. And you know, sometimes doing the right thing, it doesn't reap immediate rewards. I mean, sometimes you have a little bit of downside that you lose your girlfriend over it sometimes. It's amazing. I mean, what would you do if you were doing the right thing and your job was in jeopardy? Would you keep going? You know, see, there's this thing. If you don't, you get tired or bored of doing the wrong thing. And he says, and also two other things. Don't lose heart and don't get discouraged. Don't lose heart and don't get discouraged. You see, when we do the right thing, we keep thinking there's going to be this immediate result. A lot of times we are like the drive-in or the microwave mentality. If we do this three or four times, we ought to have this incredible benefit to it. People ought to be patting us on the back. We ought to see changes in our body. Our lives ought to be different in a hurry. That relationship ought to be healed by now. But you know, you got to keep going. Don't lose heart and don't get discouraged. 1 Corinthians 5:7 says this, we walk by faith and not by sight. I think that this is one of the biggest reasons that this scripture is so valid is because we always look for the results. And what we got to do is we got to just keep believing for the results. There's some of you in here that have somebody you care desperately for. It's a brother or sister, mom and dad, it's a relative, and they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not here to judge them today. It's just that, you know what, you're really worried that if they drop dead today, that they would go to hell instead of heaven. So you're really worried about that. And it's hard to consistently be praying for that because of all of the circumstances. But we are not looking at the way they talk, where they go, what they say about us, whether we have great fellowship with them or not. We're looking at what faith tells us to look at. And that's where you got to apply all of this consistency we're talking about. Now, let me give you the partner to being consistent. It's called persistent. And I didn't pick these out simply because they rhyme. But we know what it is to be consistent, doing the same thing over and over again because you're trying to develop this incredible value in your life. But here's a definition of being persistent. Something incessantly repeated. Whereas being consistent is more of an action, persistent is more of an attitude. Because the rest of that definition says this, doing something incessantly, repeating it in spite of opposition, obstacles, or discouragement. Debbie and I bought a house in Oklahoma City, and they had put a big, well, it was a big pad, concrete pad, and it was for a little basketball court, and we thought it ate up most of the yard, so we wanted to take half of it out, and in doing so, you know, my son and I said, we can do this. You know, I used to be a man, you know, so we could do this, so we got the old sledgehammers out there, and we were just pounding on this thing. And, you know, somewhere in my mind, I'm going, okay, this is going to break any minute. But every time I just threw that thing down there across the concrete, it just never happened. But I just knew it would. And just short of going and getting some stinking jackhammer or something, we started seeing it crumble. But then I decided I'd rather go the jackhammer route. Because I looked at how much cement I had to go, and I'm going, I don't have that much jackhammer in me. So we went and did that, but it was amazing. Do you understand how that goes? There's some things you just have to keep going and keep going and keep going, and you don't see any results, but it's because of your persistency that you're going to see results. And you will see those results. Jesus gave us two examples of being persistent in Scripture, and both of them were concerning prayer. Let me take you to Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 8. One of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, Jesus had just been praying. The disciples had been with him, so they saw all this. So now they're asking, hey, teach us to pray. And as John taught his disciples, teach us to pray. So he said to them, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day by your daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is the Lord's Prayer. Most of us recognize it as such. The Bible goes on to say, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend? And go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me in this journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut. My children are in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So here's the clue here. We need to be persistent, remain faithful based on our need. Listen, there are some needs that drive us, and there are some needs that aren't that big a deal. But it depends on how important it is to you and to your heart. Let me tell you what, when you start developing it into a personal level, I can guarantee you right now, Roger is desperately wanting us to continue to be praying for his mother. Now that's reinforced by the fact that she's not in here. They've had to exit the building, and she's getting medical attention from ambulances right now. I mean, hey, if that doesn't alarm you, I don't know what is. But you know, you got to stay consistent with these things that are important to your life, but be persistent in them in prayer. And continue to ask the Lord for these things, not because you're going to drive him crazy, but because of the need. There is a need there. Listen, most of us are motivated by needs. There's something happening in my life, and it really needs to happen, so we go to God for it. Remain faithful based on those needs. Remember what he said, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as his needs. Don't tell me God's not looking and watching to see if we really care. Don't tell me God's not paying attention to how eager, how ambitious we are that he answers our prayers. Now, he's answering a question there in the next scripture I want to take you to, Luke, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 8. He's now teaching, and this is what he says. Then he spoke a parable to them, that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Not lose heart, that's back what we said in Galatians 6, 9. Don't get weary in doing the right thing. Continue to do it. Don't lose heart and don't get discouraged. Here he is and said, do not lose heart. Saying that there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now listen, before I go on, let me just remind you of something that you already know. You don't tell God what to do. This isn't about telling God what to do. You will never wear God down. God has dealt with 2-year-olds all his life. Why? Want. God is not going to be changed because we bug him to death. So we understand that. But you can be persistent, but you can't pester God into giving you what you want. You know what God responds to? God responds to needs, not wants. And guess who defines what the needs are? God does. Listen, I know many of you have already experienced this, but we have to be reminded. There were times in my life when I said, God, I want this. And I pray about it, and I try to pursue it. I try to guide my life in a certain direction, and it just never happened. And I got so, you know, just kind of irritated, quite honestly, disappointed. I get to that point, and I thought everything was going cool. This makes so much sense. But then, later on, where I ended up, God points you back to this way. He said, son, if I'd have given you that desire, if you'd have gone that course, look at where your life would have been. And how cool is it that God redirects our lives to that? Because you know what? He knows what I want. I tell him what I need, but he defines what I really need. And I'm telling you, God does that in fabulous ways, and it's hard to trust him, but that's what we need to do. We need to remain faithful, just like we were talking about remain faithful in our needs. We also need to be remaining faithful in His authority. God, I am going to ask, I'm going to ask, but I'm going to let You decide what we need to do. You know what that's called? It's called letting God exercise His will instead of our will. And you know, listen, God's not disappointed. It doesn't bother God that you tell Him what you want, but God knows what you need. So go ahead. I'm not saying back off your prayers and only say cute little prayers that you think only God would really like. They'll tell Him exactly how you feel. Tell Him exactly what you want. But you need to understand He is going to base all of this on His authority of knowing exactly what you want. Shall God not avenge His own elect who cry out day and night to Him? Again, here's the instruction. You should always pray, He says. But the caution is, don't lose heart and don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged. Easier said than done, huh? Well, you ever gotten this close to a dream? And did you see it kind of fall through your hands? You ever come this close to feeling that we're really going to accomplish something here? I mean, there's times in my life when I was pursuing things and I'm convinced this is God. I mean, I really believe this is God, and it didn't come to pass. It's difficult. Have you ever lost the strength and the confidence and just knowing that everything's going to work out? You're praying and you're working hard at all of this, but we understand that this kind of lose the enthusiasm that we really think is going to pay off. Let me tell you, I use this example probably too much, but I'm a runner. I love to run. But I'm going to tell you, I'm serious. Every time that I run, somewhere between when I start and probably about the half mile, three-quarter mile start place that I start running, I'm going, dear God, have I ever taken a step in tennis shoes in my whole life? My body is rebelling. My body's saying, forget this. What are you doing? I don't know. It's just this crazy thing. But as I keep going and as I keep going, man, my body starts to kind of adapt to whatever. And the training that I've had through running before kind of kicks in, and I can go some distances that I really want. But right at first, it's always this incredible apprehensive moment. It feels like I'd never trained. I've never done these things. That's just my experience, but I know it's kind of what happens in our bodies. But it happens in every area of our life. You pray and you pray and you pray and you feel like nothing ever happened. And you've had some victories in the past, but now this is a new venture and you're starting to do all over again and you just feel like, man, this is not paying out. May I remind you that it isn't over until God says it's over. It is not over until God says it's over. So stick in there. Do not get weary of doing well. Because in due season, you will reap if you don't lose heart and you don't get discouraged. May I remind you that it is better, and this is a big statement, I understand this, and I may have to live up to it, but it's better to go to the grave with a dream that never came true than to never dream at all. Never dream at all. I don't get to say what's going to happen in some of my friends' life that don't know the Lord Jesus. And I may pass away before them, but God will have the final say. All I'm supposed to do is continue to pray for them and continue to ask God to bless them. May I remind you that God sees things that we cannot see. Listen, this is easy to say, but it's hard to really exercise in our own life. But somewhere over the hill, just right around the corner where we can't see things, God has already got it all mapped out. Listen, remember what it was when you were a little kid? You're crammed in the back of that stupid station wagon with all of your brothers, all four of them, and your sister who was from the devil in the first place, and you're driving, and you're just going, dear God, will we get there? And you keep asking all those questions, and your dad doesn't pay even attention to you. He don't care, because you say it enough, we're all going to stop, and he's going to smack all of us. That's the way he handled things. It was always the group plan. If I'm feeling it, if I'm exercising, everybody else is probably thinking it, so just spank them all. That's the way he did it. It was all just some disappointment, but sooner or later we would arrive. And I'm going, wow, the old man had it clawed together all the time. Because he knew where we were going, but I didn't. And God does those beautiful things for all of us. He's going to reward you for your faithfulness. Now let me take you to Luke, the 5th chapter. Here's the encounter, the first encounter that Simon Peter, we call him Peter because of the Bible, but he was first called Simon. Simon meets Jesus for the first time. Luke, the 5th chapter, verses 3-9. The Bible says that he, meaning Jesus, got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night, haven't caught anything, but because you said so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they singled the partners in the other boat to come in and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. What if Simon had relied on what he saw? What if he relied on his own experiences? What if he had listened to only himself instead of the Lord? Now let me just recapture the moment here for a second. The Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot of this, but I can put two and two together just like you can. Here's Jesus, and he's the latest, greatest thing, and it just now started, quite honestly. Simon really didn't even know who he was all about. But Jesus is out there teaching, and he can't get to everybody, so he asked Simon, he said, "I'm going to use your boat," and he pushes out a little bit so he could have a platform there to talk to everybody. In the midst of all of this, after it's all said and done, he says, "Throw your nets over here for a catch." And listen, Peter had been up all night fishing. Peter, who had been a fisherman all his life. Here's Jesus that comes up, and even if they knew what his background was, it wasn't fishing, it was carpenter. He had been a carpenter. He put tables and chairs together, and Simon knew what it was to be fishing. And he said, "Cast out into the deep for a catch." Now listen, the Bible didn't say this, but I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. Peter's going, "All right, smart aleck, I'll tell you what, we'll go out here. Sure, no problem. Now we're going to go right over here. Is this deep enough for you? We're going to go right over here. I'll throw it out here. You don't know what in the world. You know, we've been fishing all night long. I'm sweaty. I feel like nothing but bait. I'm out here. I'll show you." And then he throws it out there. Next thing you know, all the fish, it just blows up. He has to call the other boat across. That's why he went running up to Jesus and said, "Get away from me. I'm a sinful man. I'm afraid I would have done it the other way. I would have hightailed it out of there and said, I got to get away from this guy because I think I would have ran instead of asking him to leave." But the cool thing is that regardless of his experience, he did it. You know why? Because the Bible says, "Because you said so, let down the nets, we will do." Listen, we got to listen to what Jesus is saying a whole lot more than what we're saying. The disappointment, the discouragement, the opportunity to lose heart comes from us, not from him. We've never been discouraged by him. We've never said, "Yeah, this probably isn't going to work out." So don't allow yourself to come up one prayer short of a blessing. Don't come up just one day short of God really fulfilling something that he's already spoken to your heart that he wants to do. We got to understand, don't allow yourself to just come up one cast, one act short of what God really wants to do in your life. And we do that all the time. We just get this close. Let me tell you how it happens in a worship service. We worship and we sing these songs, and sometimes, you know, we start feeling something moving in our life. But about that time, we just decide we're going to put a cap on it because we don't exactly know what's going beyond there. You know what? We need to let God decide what's going to happen. We need to trust him with all of these things and these blessings that he's called us to. Are you discouraged today? Listen, let me tell you what. God understands. And this is an extremely theological, but I'm going to tell you, God understands what it is to be disappointed. You know what it means to be disappointed? I had planned everything was going to be just like this, and it didn't happen. You're going to go to this restaurant or whatever, and you're excited about it, and for the first time in ever, they're closed. You're disappointed. You know why? Because it didn't work out the way you wanted to. But what God says is don't get discouraged. Because you know what it is? I've been disappointed, but when I get discouraged, I want to quit. Pastor Owens has heard, you know, about this and all the other pastors that come in here. This doesn't happen to me as much as I've heard some people claim, but I understand that most preachers resign every Monday morning. That's just what I've heard. You know, I've had it with these people. I don't know. Yeah, I understand how that goes. You know, I mean, we get disappointed, but when you get discouraged, you want to quit. That's why he says in here, and do not be discouraged. We don't always get it the way we want it. But to be discouraged means I'm just going to give up on it. And sometimes that's exactly what we've done. We bit the wrong bullet and we have tied into discouragement instead of understanding, you know, this life isn't going to give me everything that I want. But I can keep going with God. Don't get weary. Don't be discouraged. Don't get trapped in that thing where, why are my prayers not being answered? This awesome guy in the Old Testament, his name is Daniel. We just mimicked his diet during this prayer time that he had. For him, it was only 3 weeks. Some of you have been praying for months and years for a kid that used to live in your home when you were young. And now that they're up and grown, they don't go to church. They don't like your God. And sometimes they don't like you. It's very difficult. And it's easy to just say, forget it. And you know what? Something inside won't let you. Because there's a relationship there. It's not because you read Galatians 6:9. It's because your need far exceeds what your experience is. And you want to see them again. On this earth, possibly, but definitely in heaven. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. Sometimes we need to understand that God has this whole thing under control. And there's things that we don't see, but that we will see one day. You see, when we say, I don't see it, I don't know how it's going to happen, that's fine. That's what your current experience might be. But allow yourself to follow that up with, I just don't see it, but somehow I know God's going to do it. I don't know how this is going to happen, but God does. That's why our faith isn't in ourselves, it's in Him. I'm going to ask you to stand. We have this song that we want to sing. It expresses how we feel at times like this, how we desperately want God to be a part of our life. There's one phrase in this song that says, I am desperate for you. I'm going to tell you what, desperate people do desperate things. They become consistent. They're going to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it because they believe in what the results would be. Desperate people are persistent. They're going to keep going and keep going and keep going because the end is more valuable than my current existence. And I pray God will cause you to be that way today as well. Let's sing this, guys.